I'm happy to have on the phone Margaret Joy Weaver. Thank you, Joy, for Margaret, for calling from Sedona. How are you doing there today?
I'm very, very good, thank you.
I love, love Sedona, of course. And there's a very special event that's coming up, which is International Peace Day, and it'll be happening. Actually, the actual Peace Day is on the 21st, but I wanted to talk to you today about a special event you're doing on Sunday, September 23rd. It's the Sedona Human Library event. And I talked to you last year, and I just loved what you're doing. So it's wonderful to have you back again to talk about a second round of doing this amazing event. Where did you come up with the idea for this?
Well, it's actually an international organization that developed the human library idea. And it's out of Denmark. And basically, it came from a situation where a group of people were working together in and around the impact of bullying and a pretty severe situation that had happened in Denmark. And then they came together and realized the root of all of it was the misunderstanding of that people have and the judgments that people have around people that are different from them, and they came up with the human library idea. So it started in Denmark, and it has been around, I think it's 8 or 9 years, and it now is in close to 500 cities around the world.
That is fantastic. That really is fantastic. It there's nothing quite like this. So, you know, people usually think of going to a library and you get a book, but this brings people. People are the living story, the living book. And you did this last year with an amazing array of people. And once again, you planned a great gathering. How did you find your living books?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, last year we had 27 human books. And there were probably four of us that were more or less the team of people that went out to locate books. So this year, maybe about six or seven of them came back, but this year we have 40. So
wow,
some of the books are people who came and were readers last year, and they realized they had their story to tell. And then plus we also increased our board from 5 people to 11. So, that was also a way that, many of our new board members had connections with people and really fabulous people to tell their stories this year.
Well, and obviously since it's grown now, you're doing this on Sunday, September 23rd from 10 a.m. to 1. And then you take an hour lunch break and you come back and do it 2 to 5. So this is now with the 40 human books, and there's going to be 8 45-minute sessions. Tell us about some of the stories that some of the people are going to be telling.
So we have, and again, it's incredible to just get to know the amazing people that we have in our community, you know. So I love sharing about them. And one of them is a burn survivor. And she had a tragic car accident in 1977 and not only survived the burns that were over 40% of her body, but she learned how to thrive over astonished onlookers that would come out and literally ask her what happened to you. And sometimes in horror and sometimes in pity. So she's going to not only share that with people, but also how she created this full, what she calls a dream life, with a full career and marriage and adventure as well as contribution. She's somebody that has been in charge of a group in Sedona called Sedona Women.
Oh, it's a wonderful group. I had a great talk with one of the ladies there. They do great. They do wonderful things.
Yeah. And then we have, we also have somebody that is an African American Catholic lesbian.
That's a story in itself, isn't it?
It's a story in itself. Grew up as a Roman Catholic schools, and you know, had to face both racism and discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we also have a German woman who came to the United States after World War II, and she's going to explain what it was like to be treated as a perceived Nazi. And she turns the pain of that into basically developing a stop bullying program for kids and adults. And it's a national program that she runs out of Sedona. And then we have a person who's a hunter and a gun owner, which, you know, has a contentious view to it. And he's been called a redneck and someone who kills animals, and that he's insensitive. And so he's going to share an insider view of hunting in terms of the traditional methods and, you know, how that's done. We also have a person who is a clinical psychologist for about 50 years and then started to have spiritual metaphysical experiences at the age of 10 and was secret about it. But then he brought metaphysics and psychology and science together and headed up a special integrative PTSD clinic for the U.S. Army.
How exciting. That would definitely be one book I want to read. That's one human story. That's great. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, as you're talking about it, you know, and you describe it so well, it sounds like each of these persons probably should do a book. And I've done 6 books, and I have to say it's a lot of work, you know. And I still haven't done my life story, but I've done books. Mm-hmm. And I can see where all these people would have a story. And I kind of wonder if any of them have been inspired from doing this before to think about actually doing their book as a life story.
Yeah. We're only in year 2, but there are a few people here that are published authors and will have, you know, their books and their stories available. And, you know, for some people, they might be in the middle of their, you know, a book, and, you know, this could help to inspire them to finish. And at the same time, there is something about sharing, you know, the life where they've been marginalized or stereotyped or there's a prejudice about them with people, with the intent not so much only on the healing for the books, but also for the readers and for the readers who are listening to the presentation to become aware of their prejudice and illuminate that for them, because most of us say, oh no, I'm not prejudiced.
Mm-hmm.
And it does open up for the reader the fact that we do walk around with our blinders, mm-hmm. and that we can listen to people's stories that are different or where we've been closed to it or avoided it, and that we can then perhaps shift our view. And then there's a time for questions and answers so that the readers can gain understanding and compassion for people.
So are all of these stories done one-on-one, or is it one person talking to a few people at a time? How does that work?
Well, it'll be anywhere from 2 to 8 people, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So people will come into the library. They'll have a general sense of the time, and we have the locations of where the books are located. There's about 20 of the 40 that are happening in any one of those 8 sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And people will then be able to walk around, and where there's an empty chair, they'll sit down, and then the book will begin. We also have the Verde Valley School involved. There'll be timekeepers, and they'll switch from book to book, but there'll be about 20 of them at each each of the sessions at each of the tables.
Wow. So, isn't that interesting? Yeah. So to me, I'm getting from this that you're able to make a connection. And I would imagine, Margaret, that there's some friends that are probably made from this as well.
Oh, there definitely are. There's one woman who's an amazing animal communicator. She has like four or five books out as well. And last year it was like she did. We only had four sessions last year. So some people are doing actually eight sessions, but she probably had, you know, eight people at each one of her sessions. And, you know, not only did she develop friends, but some people actually wanted to work with her and became clients with their animals in the way that she was able to, you know, talk about her capacity to talk with animals and then how people had made fun of her and things like that. But she's literally known internationally now for
wow.
her work with animals.
I just love this idea because, you know, having done a lot of communication and radio and everything, I know that there's really an amazing connection that can be made. And when you hear someone's story, usually it's maybe on a produced show on TV or something like that, or it's a movie, and those have great impact. But to be able to actually be in a library and to consider the person talking as you do as a book, is great because I've always said every person has their own story. That every life has its own story. And it must be also very interesting for the people that you call books to be able to verbalize and get their story out there in an authentic way in the 45 minutes they've got, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you have to coach them on how to do that?
Well, there's a process that happens that's, again, been put together by the international organization. And I do want to say that it's not only done in libraries, although ours happens to be in the library, so it's a really great event for the library as well, you know, in terms of bringing people into the library and kind of bringing their library to life. But the process that has been put together is really powerful. There's an application that they fill out, so that gives the book time to really orient themselves around the purpose of the human library, and then to begin to think about not just telling their story, but really being able to have their story be a contribution to the reader. And and then what happens is they then need to come up with a book title, and then a book cover that becomes part of the program. So that in and of itself becomes its own journey. And for example, we had somebody who was an affirmative action officer for the LAPD. And so she had observed and investigated many types of discrimination issues within the department and was subjected to hatred and resentment by many of the male officers. And it really took some time for her and us together to come up with really the appropriate stereotype, which ended up being gender discrimination, and then also her book title, which is called Policing the Police.
Wow.
And so there's that process, you know, right up until we have the program and the book title and everything. And then we have a meeting coming this Thursday where all the books will come together, and it really is an opportunity to, you know, create a safe environment for them because they're vulnerable in sharing their, you know, their book. And so we'll be together and provide some coaching then during that meeting. And then also that night we have people that are around the library, including myself, for example, that if there is any kind of challenging situation that comes up for any of the books, they literally can say, you know, the book is closed right now. They can, you know, leave their table and come and be with one of us. And we can kind of clear them or the situation so that they can go back and contribute their story.
Well, because you are particularly picking out things that would be would push some people's buttons on some of these things. Okay, for me, being a vegetarian all my life since I've been 15, the one that probably would be the hardest one for me was the person who kills the animals, you know. And I'm going, yeah. Boy, that's probably my hot button, you know. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. How do you deal with someone I've already, I guess in my mind as you're talking, I'm prejudging him. It's like, what is he doing killing animals, you know. So I have my prejudice built in, which... You know, I have my belief so strong, it would be very interesting how I would encounter that story without getting even prejudging or becoming antagonistic. So it's interesting that you're bringing all of these what can be hot topic buttons for people to be mm-hmm. able to come out and be faced.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's partly, too. So we try to educate the reader a bit and have them just listen and notice what's there as they're listening and be able to have compassion for themselves, that we all have prejudice. And then, you know, in their questions, we ask them to ask questions so that they can create understanding for themselves, not ask questions to substantiate their already existing point of view. And just by setting that up with people, you know, it seems to have gone pretty well. And people shift the prejudice into curiosity.
Interesting.
And they become curious, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the transformation of this event, I think, is and why it's so important at this time, you know, that we, you know, have events and activities like that. And that's our commitment as a city of peace, is to create a culture of peace, and really through these kind of dialogues where both the reader and the book are somewhat vulnerable.
And I love it. The Sedona is an international city of peace. Plus, it's got an extremely wonderful active Rotary Club, I know. And it's, you know, I have to honor and take a moment to say I honor all public libraries and how important public libraries are, and that it's great that the library can bring this living book forth to the people. I was reading what you wrote here. It says, it's easy to judge a book by its cover, but what if you could borrow it and sit down and talk with the subject about aging, near-death experiences, communicating with extraterrestrials, being illegally healed, and more. So here's, you know, and yeah, that's a couple other topics you're talking about. That's interesting, of course, aliens and illegally healed. I think that one had to do with marijuana, was that one about?
Yes, yeah. Yes, this person, and, you know, basically cannabis saved her life and was used for healing, and she was called everything from lazy to escaping and a pothead and a loser, which she's far from that. She's a very active person in our community. So, you know, but just the fact that she had a life-threatening disease, and it was cannabis that saved her life.
Wow. So. I just love that this is happening. Now, it is, as you mentioned, a worldwide movement. What is the website for people to find out more about that?
That website is Human Library. Let me just go on here for a second. Just get the. I want to make sure I get the right one.
Sure. I know. Is it going to be .com or something?
Yeah, humanlibrary.org.
.org. Okay. Humanlibrary.org.
Yes, and it's also on, you know, you can go on Facebook, and it's also, Human Library Organization.
Well, I think every community should have this. I think it's wonderful, and you are tying it in with International Peace Day, and I can see why, because once we have understanding, and once we can communicate, I think we build that bridge that can actually be used in world peace, and you know, this is a great way to start.
Well, I also want to say that I really, really appreciate our partnership with the Rotary Club of Sedona, and also the Sedona Public Library and Verde Valley School. I mean, the thing from all of that is the Rotary, you know, is an international organization, and one of its primary focuses is on, you know, cultivating peace, and does so with with a variety of different programs, inclusive of a foreign exchange program. So their support with this has been really great, and we would love to have that partnership modeled in other cities.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the library, you know, to become a space where, you know, safe dialogue can happen is really, really great. And then Verde Valley School is an international, a school that brings students in from around the world and has been cultivating, creating a global citizen. So to have, you know, Chinese students from China or from India or from Europe and also throughout America be able to participate in this in Sedona, you know, we just really appreciate that partnership.
Absolutely. Well, I think you're a wonderful person to get behind this, and I can feel your energy and your passion with it, Margaret. And I really thank you for, you know, being open and just sharing it, because I hopefully it'll plant the seeds for more and more to come. And I know it's going to be a very successful event, and we encourage people to get, if they're listening in Sedona, down there Sunday, September 23rd, to the library, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then 2 o'clock to 5 p.m. And I think it'll be a very enlightening experience for everyone involved.
Great. Well, there's a couple ways for people to find out, too. We do have a Facebook page of the Human Library Sedona, and also on our Sedona International City of Peace. And on those pages, we are recommending people to go to the Eventbrite page to register. It's free, mostly so that we can then be able to share with them the times, and they can start to select their books early and things like that.
So, wonderful. And what's the Eventbrite name they'd look under?
They would look under Sedona. Let me get that in a second. They would look under Sedona Human Library 2018.eventbrite.com.
Sedona Human Library 2018.eventbrite.com.
You got it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Margaret, for your time and your information and your passion on this great subject.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Good luck with everything. Aloha. Bye.
Aloha. Bye-bye.